Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are tackling something huge. We're going deep on what looks to be the most foundational overhaul to Windows that Microsoft has tried in, well, decades.
Absolutely. We're cutting through all the noise, all the leaks, to really analyze the facts about what's coming in. Let's call it Windows 12 for now.
And our mission today is really to get to the core of this change.
It is. We need to understand this architectural shift. I mean, we're looking at a move away from an OS that's just bogged down by 30 years of legacy code.
Towards something new.
Exactly. Modular, AI-first foundation. The code name we keep seeing is Core PC.
And this rewrite creates a real tension, doesn't it? It's something you, the listener, really need to grasp.
That's the central conflict. You get these incredible gains in speed and power, but they're balanced against, frankly, brutal new hardware requirements and some pretty profound privacy questions.
Yeah, we've gone through everything, code commits, OEM roadmaps, you name it. We're going to unpack this AI Explorer feature.
The so-called photographic memory.
Right, and how that dreaded update process might finally be gone for good. And, maybe most importantly, why the machine you're using right now might not even be able to run it properly. Okay, so let's start with the feature that seems to be defining this whole release, this new AI brain.
Internally, it's being called the Advanced AI Explorer.
And people are describing it as the successor to that failed timeline feature from Windows 10, right?
They are, but it's so much more than that. I mean, Microsoft has tried to give the PC a memory before, sure, but those attempts were, you know, they were pretty basic. They just indexed file paths or used Cloud Sync.
This is different.
This is fundamentally different. The AI Explorer relies on a powerful, local, large language model, an LLM, that runs entirely on your device. Nothing goes to the cloud.
And that local part is the key. It's not just indexing a file name. It's indexing the actual context, the meaning of what's on your screen.
Exactly. Just think about that. The system is running constantly in the background, just processing and indexing information as you see it.
So if I have a chat window open,
it indexes the conversation. If you're scrolling through a 100-page PDF, it knows which section you spent the most time on. If you're watching a video, it can even tag specific frames based on the topic being discussed.
That creates a massive searchable map of your own digital life.
A knowledge graph, basically, yeah.
Okay, so give us the real-world use case. How does this actually help me?
Right. Imagine you need to find a file. You can't remember the name. You have no idea where you saved it. All you remember is the conversation around it.
Happens all the time.
So you can just type or even say something like, show me the budget spreadsheet Jason sent me about 3 weeks ago that mentioned Q3.
And it would just find it.
Instantly. Because it's searching that semantic index. It connects the person, Jason, the time frame, 3 weeks ago the application, and the topic, Q3. It just completely bypasses the old way of thinking about folders and file names.
You're not just searching a storage device anymore. You're searching your own memory.
Your PC becomes a memory retrieval assistant. That's the goal.
But doesn't that change everything about how we organize our computers? Why would I even need a desktop folder anymore?
It certainly changes the incentive. You're right. You wouldn't have to be so meticulous. But, you know, the early critique is that the sheer amount of data needed for this constant indexing, all those screen captures and conversations, is just enormous.
Which leads us right into why they had to do this foundational rewrite in the first place.
And that rewrite is Project Core PC. For years, Windows has been, let's face it, heavy. It's been dragging around 3 decades of compatibility code.
So Core PC is the effort to finally modernize it, make it lighter, faster.
Modular, lighter, and faster, yes. And the most critical change here is an architectural one called state separation.
Okay, break that down. State separation. That's a pattern we see in mobile operating systems like Android or iOS, right?
Exactly. It's also called AB partitioning. Instead of having all the system files, drivers, and your user data all mixed together in one big partition.
It splits them up.
It splits them into isolated, read-only partitions. Think of it like this. Your core operating system now lives in a locked vault. You can read from it, but nothing, not you, not an app, and not malware can write to it.
Unless it's an official update.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this structure gives you 3 huge benefits. The first one is the end of update dread. They're calling it lightning updates.
Wait, okay. So if the OS is locked, how do updates even work?
Well, because the system is separated, the new update downloads completely in the background, but it goes to a secondary inactive partition.
An identical copy.
Right. So when it's ready and you restart, the system doesn't sit there patching files for 20 minutes. It just swaps the boot pointer from the old partition to the new one.
So that infamous blue screen, The do not turn off your PC message that's held our computers hostage for years?
It's gone. Structurally obsolete. The sources we're seeing say the entire restart process from click to a usable desktop should take less than 60 seconds.
That alone is a revolution for anyone who's ever missed a meeting because of a forced update.
Mm-hmm. And beyond the speed, that read-only state gives you a massive security boost.
Because malware can't dig into the system files.
It has a much, much harder time. If it can't write to those critical partitions, its ability to, you know, embed itself in the heart of the OS is severely limited.
And the third benefit is system recovery.
The power reset. Resetting your PC to factory settings becomes fast and clean. The system just scrubs your user data partition and reinstates that pristine lock OS partition. It's like resetting an iPad. No more waiting hours for Windows to reinstall itself.
Okay, so it's clear the rewrite under the hood is a huge deal. Faster, cleaner, more secure. But what does it actually look like? What's the user experience? Let's talk about the visual overhaul, which might be codenamed Oxygen.
Right. And the most visible change, and believe me, this will be the most controversial, is the floating taskbar.
A floating taskbar, so it's not stuck to the bottom of the screen anymore.
Nope. It breaks decades of muscle memory. The new taskbar floats just slightly above the bottom edge of the screen, with rounded corners. It's very similar to what you see on macOS or iPadOS.
I can already hear the complaints. Why the controversy? Is it just that people hate change?
It's partly that, but it's also a functional disruption. The classic taskbar did everything right. It held your apps, the clock, the system tray, notifications.
Use a Swiss Army knife.
Exactly. And Windows 12 is splitting all those functions up.
How so?
The new floating dock is only for applications. That's it. They're introducing a new top bar or a system status area, probably in the top right or center. Again, just like on a modern phone.
And that's where the clock and battery and all that stuff will live now.
Correct. The clock, battery status, Wi-Fi notifications, it's a clear split. Right. And it all points to one thing, a massive focus on optimizing the experience for touch and for two-in-one devices. They really want to merge that tablet and desktop world.
All right, now we have to get to the trade-off. Because all of this AI magic and modern architecture comes at a pretty steep price. We need to talk about the hardware requirements.
This is probably the most critical part of the conversation for you, the listener, especially if you're planning on buying a new PC.
And the headline seems to be that the era of the budget 8GB laptop is just over.
It's definitively over. The reports are consistent. Because Windows 12 leans so heavily on local AI processing, the memory demands have shot up. The minimum requirement is now said to be 16 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM.
16 gigs, mandatory. That's double what most entry-level PCs have today. And why LPDDR5 specifically? Why the requirement on the type of RAM?
It's not just about the capacity, it's about the speed and efficiency. That local AI model needs its own high-speed memory pool to constantly index your screen without dragging the whole system to a crawl. Slower RAM just wouldn't keep up.
But the memory is only one part of the story. The really big barrier to entry is the NPU.
The neural processing unit. This is the real gatekeeper. To run the flagship AI features, especially the AI Explorer, your machine is going to need a dedicated NPU capable of at least 40 TOPS.
40 TOPS. That's trillion operations per second. That sounds like a massive number. Can you put that in perspective for us?
It is a steep, steep climb. Right now, some of the best NPUs and high-end laptops top out around, say, 25 to 35 TOPS.
So even new premium machines might not be good enough.
Many won't. To hit 40 TOPS, you're going to need the absolute latest silicon from Intel or AMD. This means that a lot of really good recent hardware, even 13th or 14th gen Intel chips or older Ryzen 5000 series CPUs, will be left out.
So it's not that those machines can't run Windows 12 at all.
No, they'll likely run the base OS just fine. Core PC is efficient. But they will be locked out of the very features that Microsoft is using to sell you on the upgrade in the first place. It's a deliberate segmentation of the user base.
Oh, and one more thing. We're hearing that spinning hard drives are done. You'll need an SSD as your boot drive.
That's the final nail in the coffin for older hardware. SSD is mandatory. No more HDDs.
Okay, but let's look at a bright side to this NPU mandate. There's a big win here for a huge part of the audience. Yeah. Gamers.
Yes. There's a system-level feature called AutoSR, which stands for Auto Super Resolution.
And this is a pretty big deal technologically.
It's a genuine leap. Right now, if you want to use AI upscaling to boost your frame rates, like NVIDIA's DLSS or AMD's FSR, the game developer has to build support for it directly into their game.
Which means thousands of older classic games never get it.
They're just left out. But AutoSR flips the script. Windows 12 uses that mandatory NPU power to apply AI upscaling universally at the operating system level.
So the OS does the work itself.
The OS intercepts the image that the game renders, feeds it to the NPU, and the NPU upscales it on the fly.
So wait, I could fire up an old classic like, I don't know, Skyrim or Fallout 4, or something that will never get another patch.
Yeah.
And the OS itself could take its 1080p output and upscale it to a sharp 4K in real time.
That is the promise. The NPU does all that heavy lifting, sharpening textures, improving frame rates, without the game developer having to do a thing.
Yeah.
It's a huge benefit for anyone with a big back catalog of games.
Yeah.
But we have to circle back to the biggest elephant in the room. Privacy.
Right. The whole idea of an operating system that is constantly recording and understanding everything you do on your screen, that's a privacy advocate's worst nightmare.
A massive data collection risk. Absolutely. It doesn't matter where the data is stored.
Microsoft obviously knows this is coming. They're trying to get ahead of it with two big promises.
We are. The first promise is local processing. They are adamant that the AI Explorer Index lives only on your device. That continuous stream of data is not being sent to Microsoft servers. It's not being used to train ChatGPT.
Okay, that's a necessary first step. What's the second promise?
The second is user control. They're calling them privacy controls. This would include the ability to create a blacklist of apps.
So I can tell Windows, hey, when I open my banking app or my password manager or just an incognito browser window, stop recording.
Exactly. You could designate zones of privacy where the indexing just turns off.
But even if it's all local, doesn't creating this single searchable database of every sensitive email, every private chat, every document I've ever worked on, doesn't that create a huge security target?
That is precisely the concern security professionals are raising. It shifts the risk from data in transit to data at rest. If your machine gets compromised, either physically or through malware, the attacker doesn't just get your files.
They get your entire history.
They get a chronological, searchable, semantic history of everything you've ever done on that machine. It makes data exchange for them incredibly efficient.
And it sounds like big companies are already saying no thanks.
They are. Sources are very clear that IT admins in enterprise environments are... highly skeptical. Many are already planning to use group policy to just disable the AI Explorer feature entirely on day one.
The risk is just too high for them.
The consensus seems to be that the risk of having a fully indexed corporate history on every single laptop is just not worth the productivity benefit.
So when you put it all together, Windows 12 it's the ultimate trade-off OS, isn't it?
It really is. On one hand, you have these massive fundamental improvements. Updates are finally instant. The search is, frankly, revolutionary, and gaming gets a huge system-level boost.
But on the other hand, it places these incredibly steep demands on your wallet. It forces a hardware refresh based on this new NPU metric, and it forces a very serious conversation about digital privacy.
On the timeline, Microsoft is being pretty predictable. The core platform, codenamed Germanium, should be ready for manufacturers in June of 2026.
And then it gets to us, the public, in the fall.
General availability is scheduled for September or October 2026.
And we have to talk about the price. We keep hearing this rumor that it might not be a simple one-time purchase or a free upgrade.
That is the persistent rumor. The upgrade to the core OS will probably be free for Windows 11 users. Yeah. But there's a strong suggestion that some of the pro AI features might be locked behind a Microsoft 365 subscription.
So we're entering the era of the subscription OS, paying a monthly fee to unlock your PC's full power.
It's a real possibility. And it brings up a final provocative thought for you to chew on, especially when you think about that 40 TOPS requirement.
Go on.
Windows 12 is forcing a whole new way to measure a PC's performance. So I ask you, are we moving to a future where a computer's true worth isn't measured by its CPU speed or its GPU power anymore, but by its trillion operations per second capability? Is TOPS the new horsepower?
Is that the metric that's going to define the next decade of computing?
That's the question.
Food for thought indeed. Thank you for joining us for the Deep Dive.